Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a joy to see you. I hope it's the same to you as well. Okay. In the past, I talked about God Himself. And then after talking about God, I talk about man. We talk about how man fall into sin and became sinners, and how God redeemed us through Christ. And those who receive Christ, we become Christian. And yet, not every Christian grow successfully in a way. So we ask, we are going to talk about Christian growth today. Before we do that, let us pray. Father, we commit this gathering before you. We pray that you will speak to our hearts. Open our eyes and open our ears. Draw us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, for I believe some of us among here are not Christian yet. Some of us here, many of us here, are Christians. Now, what makes that difference? What makes that difference? The difference is, we became Christian because we made a decision. We realized, I'm a sinner. We realized the reality. God loves me and saved me through Christ. So we made a decision to accept Christ and we become Christian. And how about role? How about after that decision, would all Christians grow successfully? Not really. Because, again, Christian growth is not just automatic. You have to make decisions as well. God is not going to take away your free will. I don't want to read Bible. Oh, suddenly your hands go to reach out to the Bible and suddenly open the Bible. Oh, and suddenly read it. Oh, and you read it. No, no way. You have to make your decision to grow. Not once, but many times. So become a Christian, you need to make decision. But growing, still, you have to make a lot of decisions. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. But why would some people make such decision and why some people do not bother about growing? Okay, it's not working. Did I turn something? Ah, yeah. Okay. Vision. Because we see something. For someone to want to grow because they realize they see something. There are two ways in the Bible we can see. If we are following the old life, which means we are following the flesh, and where is that going to lead us? If we actually, we have read the passage last time, if we're following the flesh, following how our body likes it, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I. If you follow your flesh, you will be in bondage. And not only in bondage, the lives leads to corruption. Some people become drug addicts. Some people become drinking alcohol, becomes alcoholic. Some people in bondage with pornography. Why? Because they want to do whatever their body wants. And they become captured. And because they spend so much time in it, they become corrupted in their life. They can't resist it. It seems freedom in the beginning. Oh, I can drink as much as I want. I can gamble as much as I want. But one day, I know someone who can't stop gambling. And his whole life is ruined. Ruined his family. Ruined the relationship with his wife, with his children. They can't, the whole family suffer because the father is in bondage in gambling. We can see the life become ugly, so self-centered, so selfish, and that they are in pain and struggle. They can't stop themselves. This is, you follow the flesh day by day by day by day. It's going like that. It's going like that. So I see people like that. Do you see? Do you know someone like that? Do you hear about families like that? It's not new to you. Sometimes we can see it in the news. Sometimes you can hear the same situation among your friends at school. Marriage breakdown. Families become single parents, lost their... So many tragedy happens in our life because people are following the flesh. Just like, imagine, there's a river, raging river. If you jump in the river, if you don't do anything, you just drift along the river. And where does that river go? Go downstream, downstream, and up to a certain point, maybe a waterfall, boom, and you're going to die. Many people, in my mind, I can see people jump into the river and drift along, following the flesh. Just like going downstream, downstream. Their life is getting worse, getting worse, getting worse. Drug addicts, alcoholic, people, all kind of addiction, getting worse, getting worse. Their life, so they think of about themselves. They don't care about their family. They don't care about study. They don't care about work. They don't care about what is the meaning of life. They just care about, let me have it, let me have it, let me have it. Their life is like that. Whereas, when I observe some Christians, they are not following the drift of the river. As if a fish swimming upstream, you know, only dead fish, they can't resist. They just flow along. So maybe your whole life is being drifted by the fashions of this world. Young people, at school, what are your friends? What do they want? You just follow them. Oh, I want to go to that concert. It's nothing wrong to go to the concert. But it's your whole life is just drift along by others. Without, you can't resist anything. Just like a dead fish flowing down the river. Or like a jellyfish drifting along by the tides. Only the living fish, they can swim upstream, fighting against the tide. So those who are following the Spirit, they are not just following the flesh. The flesh wants to do this, but they are in control of their life. They can resist the temptation. They can say no. The water drift them. Everybody going to that. Everybody chasing after them. Not me. I got something better to do. Not me. I got something more important in my life. Dare to be different. Think about your life. Are you being drifted along? Following your friends, your peer groups? Or you have something different in your life, just like an anchor, just like you can go upstream. I like documentaries, especially about, you can see the salmon swimming from the sea, going back upstream, jumping up high. Even the bear tried to catch them along the way, but still the salmon never stop. They keep swimming upstream, upstream. It's their instinct in their life. Christians, we are following the Spirit, the instinct of us to go towards God, to seek His face, to find His favor. Our whole life should go upstream, like that. And I observe Christians, especially some mature Christians, when I observe that, they seem to be immune to all this temptation in this world. They seem to be find freedom. They make good use of their time. And I observe their life. They have joy, they have patience, they have kindness, they care about people. I notice the fruits in their life. Fruitfulness. When I look at the Christians around me, when I look at Uncle Jonathan, when I look at Brother New, wow, Brother New is 10 years older than me. And yes, he's so strong. He's like a locomotive engine at the front, pulling us along. Wow, that is life. That is fruitfulness. This is someone I admire. So I will follow his footsteps. That's the beauty of life. This is beauty of life. I can see someone, a drug addict, destroying their family. Someone used their hard time and effort serving others. I can see the beauty. So where are you now? Are you following the tide? Are you following the drift to go downhill? Think about your life. Today may be a little step downstream, but if you continue to let go without resisting all the temptations, that will bring you to far away from Christ. Now notice, this growth is not just one decision, not just one day thing. It's a continuous urge in your life to go upstream. An urge to know God and to serve Him and to know Him. So we must be clearly under, when I see this, now I'm going to make a decision. Am I just let go, follow the way of the flesh? Maybe at this time, the little girl outside is playing. So, maybe I should go outside and play as well. I just follow myself, whatever I like, or what would God wants me to do? What would God wants me to do? I follow the Spirit, what would God wants me to do? Or follow my flesh? I want to do this, I want to go that way. Let's have fun. This growing is not by chance. You have to make a lot of decisions. You know, all these successful swimmers, they wake up at 5 or 6, go to the swimming pool, swim 1 or 2 kilometers as warm up, and then continue to swim for hours and hours. Oh yes, they can go and go the gold medal. Oh, cheering. But you know how the effort they pay behind? So growing is not, you have to make an effort to grow, isn't it? So if we know, you have to make your choice to grow. If you don't make up your mind, if you have not such determination in your heart, you will fail, definitely. Because you need determination. If you are not determined, everything can stop you. Oh, the weather is too hot. I don't want to go to church. Oh, it's raining. I don't have the mood. Reading Bible, oh, the light is too dim. It's too noisy. Everything can stop you if you don't have determination. If you want to do it, nothing can stop you. If you don't want to stop, do it, everything can stop you. The mood can stop you. Everything can stop you. So to grow is not, you see the end, what will it be if you follow the flesh? In my heart, I have to make a decision. I determined. I don't want to follow my flesh. Yes, I may fail sometimes, but I won't stay there. I will resist, keep struggling. So, also to grow, last time I mentioned a few points. Growing takes time. Growing takes time. You need to spend time, T-I-M-E, time to grow. Whatever you do, no matter you play rugby, tennis, swimming, playing piano, music, whatever you're good at it, you spend time on it. You devoted your time, you spend time on it. Don't expect to grow without spending time. You say, I want to grow, but I don't have time. What an excuse. I want to grow. Then I ask you, how do you spend your time? Not once, not twice, not a month. Building a habit, as we saw in the first Psalm, like a tree planted by the waters. And Jesus said, abide in me. Speaks of a continuous relationship. So when you want to grow, you need to find time to build a habit. A habit of what? A quality time. Focus on Him. I specified it. I read the Bible, but it's boring. When you find a time and you want to build a habit, now this time is not when you read the Bible, okay, what's on the on? I got message. Suddenly, oh, what's on the phone? What's on TV? Someone distract you. Or as you are walking, quality time speaks of you focused on that person. I read some book about marriage. The couples are supposed to spend quality time together. Quality time is no one else, just you and me. I totally focus on you. Tell me your thing. Tell me your story. My whole heart is ready to feel what you are telling me. Oh, poor, such thing happens to you. Oh, you show empathy. You know, you totally focus on that person. So, reading the Bible is the same thing. Reading the Bible is not getting information. Reading the Bible is not doing analysis. Oh, what can I? Oh, I'm going to preach. What can I get from this passage? This word. Let me search the Greek. No. Quality time is not about information. Quality time is about heart to heart. Just like God is telling you something about Himself. Let me give you a picture. Like an old grandfather sitting on an armchair near the fireplace, the grandson, grandchildren gathering around him, the grandfather telling his stories about how he was fighting in the World War, and then, oh, you are so brave. Well, that is so dangerous. Did the Germans shoot you? Did you throw any throw any ammunition or how to call that hand bomb or something like that? I can't. Grenade. Yes. Did you throw any grenade? Were you in the army or are you in the navy? You are so interested to hear his story. You want to know about him. This is how you read the Bible. So it's not about information. When you read God's words is not giving you scientific, you are not going to analyze it. Now, where are the dinosaurs? Where are the dinosaurs? You are not looking for dinosaurs. You are not trying to find something wrong. Are there something wrong there? No. God is pouring out his heart to you. You must catch what is in his heart. Use your heart to feel his heart. and then you will be touched by him. And praying to God is not, God, I want this, giving a list. I want this, I want this, I want this. Thank you, bye-bye. Not like that, my friend. Imagine a man dating a woman and I want this, I want this, I want this. Do you want me? You're not asking for something. So when you come before God, praying to God is pouring out your heart. Now let me tell you something. Help you to pray, okay? When you come before God, normally we don't think of others. When you come before God, Father, I thank you for example, my father. He has worked so hard for me. And you talk to your God about, you thank him, then you focus on how God's work in your father. What you want your father, if he's sick, if he's heavy burden, then you start to notice more about, when you pray for your father, appreciating what he has done for the family, then is your heart coming out? Have you ever given thanks for your mother? Oh, she's always nagging. Thank God for your mother. Without her, where would you be? There may be something that was her need. Maybe you can do something for her. Maybe you can comfort him or her. Are you always complaining about them? So when you come before God, you think about a different person. Now, if I ask you, I give you some time. List 10 persons you can think of. Not just your father and your mother. Sometimes it's your brother, your sister. Sometimes it's your friends who are in need. Sometimes it's some church friends, Uncle Neil. Give thanks for Michelle. Or give thanks for the young leaders coming up. Pray for them. When doing this, I tell you, you won't be that self-centered. Your life seems to be aware. God is changing. God's work is doing on that person. God's work is doing on that person. God's work is doing on that person. Oh, God's work. Oh, someone has given birth. You thank God for him. When you notice outside and you pray to God for these people, then your heart goes out to these people. And not just always on how you feel. Maybe during the prayer, you realize your weaknesses. You need God to help you. So it's not a list, but you are communicating with God. You are thanking him. You are observing your life. And find out something to give thanks. Find out something to ask for your help. This is from your bottom of your heart. You pray to him. So this is quality time. But sometimes, even in your work, when I'm driving, when I'm doing something, I can still pray to him, give thanks to him. Okay? So this is how you, if you want to build, find time to grow, find time. When? You choose the wrong time, you'll be so tired. You choose the wrong time, so many things will confuse you, disturb you. Can you pray when you are taking a bus? Of course you can. But it's so much distraction around. Sometimes I tell you, when I was praying in a quiet room, suddenly an ant crawling in front of me. Then my eyes follow the ants. So easily distracted my life. So,
help find all means so we can spend good time before God.
Building a good habit, you have to assign to set a time. Don't think it will come automatically. Suddenly, I have an urge to pray. Well, that's good. But if you don't set a time, I think it rarely occurs in your life that, oh, I need to come before God. Set a time to build a habit. Just like, okay, let's play table tennis. When? 10 o'clock. Where? You give me a definite time and place, isn't it? So make a date with God. And also, if you want to build a good habit, some bad habits, you have to break in the bad habits. How? If you are always wasting your time doing this thing, how about doing something else and focus on something else at that time? So you have to take away yourself from when you usually do have the bad habits, the time and space. We always find time and space for the bad habits. But if you want to stop it, you have to change that time and space to do something else. Set your mind, set time and mind on something else. So Philippians, it talks about finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, pass of good report, any virtue, if there are in anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. First of all, meditate something good. I can't think of, my mind can't keep focusing on the bad things. It keeps coming in. Okay, how about you use your mind to meditate on something good? Maybe you read a book. People don't like to read books nowadays, not many. Read some biography. Read some good Christian books. Even scientific book is good. Something good, okay? Just, pure, lovely. When you meditate on these things, and then what happens? The things which you learn, what have you learned in here? And received? What have you received? And heard and saw? What did you hear and saw in other Christians? I know some of you come and to help in hands and feet during school holiday. Yeah, you're spending good time. Then you suddenly realize so many people need help. And suddenly you realize so many people are serving and helping. This is a better way to spend your time, isn't it? Instead of, oh, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, do something good. Spend wisely. How to spend your time. Please do meditate first. And then you learn something, you receive something, and you heard something, and you saw, and then do, and the God of peace will be with you, and your life will be changed. Okay? Isn't that practical? You won't suddenly do good things until your mind comes to your mind first. And if your mind is already filled with garbage, rubbish, how can you live a good life? So simple, and yet so true. You may say, I tried, but I failed. Well, remember, it's a habit. Failing once doesn't matter. Keep doing. Keep trying. This is what I call determination. I fell. You know, kids learn how to walk. Suddenly they stumble. Ah! So what? Rise up again and walk again. No big deal. Who has never stumbled? We all stumbled when we learned to walk. How many times did you stumble? I didn't care. Every time I rise up, I win. Isn't it? You stumble 10 times, rise up 10 times. And you now you can walk, you can run. Isn't it? As long as you failure, your success is failure plus one. You fail 10 times, you plus one, you get up, and you win. So, do not give up. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So do not lose heart, and in due season. So it takes time. So this is something simple. But now, before we finish, I want to let you think about this. We are going to have some group discussion. Think about, are you saved? If you are, do you want to grow? And if you want to grow, now the main thing we want to discuss is, what's your difficulty to grow? Okay, so we try to focus on one thing. What is your experience? You may be a more mature Christian now. Share with your experience. What is your difficulty you encountered? You may be still struggling. You don't have to be perfect. We all stumble, isn't it? Share about your prayer life, how you struggle. Share about how you read Bibles. If you are not saved, listen, hear how these people, how this Christian growing and not being drifted along. Okay? So after prayer, I'm telling you how we are going to divide it into groups. Okay, let us pray first. Father, we thank you for today. We pray that you will help us not just believe, but continue to grow in you. So let us commit the sharing time before you. Speak to us, Father. In Jesus' name, Amen.